Good. I'm liking it. Showing that you're awake this morning. All right. So today is guess who's coming for dinner, right? Dinner. And some of you here this morning might not know what that is, but you write down either as a guest or a host, and you don't know who's coming to your house. So it really is a guess who's coming for dinner. And I wrote down, my wife and I, that we would be a host to four people. I don't know who they are. It's a guess, right? So I just want them to know that I went to the store and I bought this beautiful loaf of Wonder Bread, Kraft peanut butter, Smucker's strawberry jam, half a glass of milk. You know, that's what you're looking forward to this morning. No, I'm kidding. We did much better than that, I think. So it's good to see everyone here this morning. Let's unite our hearts in prayer, and we will get into God's Word. Father God, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for all you do in our lives. Lord, I pray this morning for this congregation that you would speak to them this morning, Lord, as you did to me all week. Lord, I pray that your name would be lifted high, Lord. You would be glorified. Lord Jesus, we truly do love you and we praise you and we give this service to you. Lord, I pray that the words spoken would be your words and not mine. Let your Spirit move upon this congregation. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Last week, our sermon was about pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit and his work in us, in our lives. We learned a little about the character of the Holy Spirit, his personality, his attributes, his essence, his deity, and his work. You know, as I was going through this sermon today, it was quite extensive trying to line up all the scriptures and go through it. There's a lot here. We got to dig in deep here this morning. Get your Bibles ready, get your fingers ready, your highlighters, what have you. It'll be up on the screen as well, the scriptures. You can follow along. But today we have finally made it. We have arrived at this sermon series where we're actually listing the spiritual gifts one after another. Your individual, personal, and imparted spiritual gift. You see, if you know Jesus here this morning, I got to tell you something. Every one of you were given a spiritual gift, or maybe two, or maybe three. And I want you to know today that many of us, we are not utilizing our spiritual gifts for the glory of God. We're not. And maybe it's because this morning you don't know what your spiritual gift is. Maybe you think it's one, and you're doing that ministry, and guess what? It's actually not your spiritual gift. You feel like you're in an area of church service, mission work, what have you, that just truly doesn't fit you. Because maybe God has imparted a different spiritual gift to you. And I want to be sure that when we go through this, that you come to know what your spiritual gift or gifts are, and that you're utilizing them for the glory of God. Title of today's message is, What Are the Spiritual Gifts and Where Do I Find Them? Well, first of all, what are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are given to each and every believer the moment they come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, come to know Christ as Savior, and when the Holy Spirit fills us at salvation, that perfect gift or gifts that the Lord knows will suit you are given to you. We as believers should use these gifts from God for the ministry's sake, and they shouldn't be taken for granted. They should be used to bless other believers and non-believers alike. Charles Stanley said, As God's children, we are not to be observers. We're to participate actively in the Lord's work. Spectators sit and watch, but we are called to use our spiritual gifts and serve continually. Do you believe that you get to a certain age in your life where you say, I'm done. I'm done. Lord, use me enough. Time to retire. I'm done. Well, I have seen people back in Waterville in my church. I see it here too. But back in my church in Waterville, still using their spiritual gifts at 80 years old and on. Still going strong. And that is something to see. Still having that desire and love for ministry and for serving the Lord. Just on fire for the Lord at 80 years old. So guess what? We have no excuses, right? When putting together a full list of spiritual gifts, you may determine that there are at least 7 in Romans 12, 9 in 1 Corinthians 12, 5 in Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4 relists some of them as well. So there's you can find them all through the New Testament, obviously, but you can find the majority of them here in these scriptures. What are the spiritual gifts that God has given to His people? Well, here is a list, and I took it from gotquestions.org, and the person that wrote this was Dr. Larry Gilbert. And it's called, How Many Spiritual Gifts Are There? Well, they're listed here. Spiritual gifts. Miraculous gifts. Number one, apostleship. 1 Corinthians 12:28. Just bear with me as I read through these. I want to just tell you what they are, where you can find them. And if you think this morning that you have one of these spiritual gifts, by all means, write it down. Look it up for yourself and study it for yourself. Number one, apostleship, 1 Corinthians 12:28 and Ephesians 4:11. Number two, tongues, 1 Corinthians 12:10, 28 and 30. Number three, interpretation, 1 Corinthians 12:10 to 30. And number four, miracles, 1 Corinthians 12:10 to 28. Number five, healing, 1 Corinthians 12:9 and 28. Enabling gifts, number six, faith, 1 Corinthians 12:9. Number seven, discernment, 1 Corinthians 12:10, number 8, wisdom, 1 Corinthians 12:8, number 9, knowledge, 1 Corinthians 12:8, team gifts, evangelism, Ephesians 4:11, 11, prophecy, Romans 12:6, Ephesians 4:11, 1 Corinthians 12:10 and 28, number 12, teaching, Romans 12:7, 1 Corinthians 12:28, number 13, exhortation, Romans 12:8, number 14, shepherding, Ephesians 4:11, number 15, serving, Romans 12:7, 1 Corinthians 12:28, number 16, mercy, Romans 12:8. Woo! I'm out of breath. I got to slow down here. Number 17, I'm going to pass out. Number 17, giving, Romans 12:8. Number 18, administration, Romans 12:8, 1 Corinthians 12:28. Number 19, speaking gifts, 1 Peter 4:11. Those who have speaking gifts are the evangelists, prophets, teachers, exhorters, and shepherds. Number 20, ministering. 1 Peter 4:11, number 21, helps, 1 Corinthians 12:28, and number 22, hospitality, Romans 12:13, 1 Peter 4:9. How'd you like that? Thank you, we got through it. So here is a brief explanation of the spiritual gifts, starting with miraculous gifts. And I think it's only fair not only to list them so you understand them, but also to explain just a little bit about them. And remember, this is not extensive. I'm not going into huge detail with each of these. We'd be here forever. I'm going to go into a little bit of detail on each one. Apostles, a person sent to a new place with the gospel. You may have heard of missionaries going to different countries to help spread the word. They could be described as apostles too. An apostle can also provide leadership to other churches or ministries and offer advice in spiritual matters. Speaking in tongues is a supernatural ability to speak in another language that spreads the good news of the gospel and reveals the truth of God's word. Interpretation, the supernatural ability to reveal the meaning of the message spoken in an unknown tongue. It identifies, exhorts, and comforts the church. Miracles, the supernatural ability to demonstrate God's authority in an extraordinary acts and validate the message of the gospel. Healing, a capability used by God to restore others, be it physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual health. Enabling gifts, faith. People with this gift have such great confidence in the power and the promise of God that they can stand strong in their beliefs no matter what may try to shake them. They can also stand up for the church and for their faith in such a way as to defend and move it forward. All right. Where was I? What did I say? What? Okay. I just wanted to see if you were listening. All right, discernment, the wisdom to recognize truth from error, by correctly evaluating whether a behavior or teaching is from God or another ungodly source. They can also recognize deception and evil in people in certain situations. Wisdom, the gift of being able to sort through facts and data and discover what needs to be done in the church. Knowledge, this is the gift of someone who actively pursues knowledge of the Bible. The person may also enjoy analyzing biblical data. Team gifts, evangelism, the ability to successfully and clearly communicate the message of the gospel, especially to non-believers. Prophecy, the ability to speak the message of God to others. This sometimes involves foresight or visions, what is to come, and this gift should be used only to offer encouragement or for warning. Teaching, the skill to teach from the Bible and communicate it effectively for the understanding of spiritual growth of others. Exhortation, competence in offering encouragement, comfort, and support, and help someone be all that God wants them to be. Shepherding and leadership. This gift marks a person who is able to stand before a church to direct the body with care and attention and to motivate them towards achieving a full spiritual life and to move the church towards its goals. Serving, a talent for identifying tasks needed for the body of Christ and using available sources to get the job done. Mercy. Give me a second. This is the defining trait of a person with great sensitivity for those who are suffering. It manifests itself in offering compassion and encouragement and in a love for giving practical help to someone in need. Giving, those who have this gift are particularly willing to be and able to share what resources they have with pleasure and without the need to see them returned. Administration, the ability to help steer the church or a ministry towards the successful completion of a God-given goals with skills of planning, organization, and supervision. Helps. Someone with this gift is able to support or assist members of the body of Christ so that they may be free to minister to others. Hospitality, this is our last one. A natural ability to make people, even strangers, feel welcome in one's own home or church as a means of discipleship or serving them. So I know that was a lot to take in, but guess what? Through this sermon series, I'm going through these and I'm breaking them down and I'm going to teach them and explain them so you understand them, because my goal for you is this, that you understand what your spiritual gifts are and that you're utilizing them and using them for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. David Jeremiah said, you have inside you the capacity to invite your mental, emotional, and spiritual gifts in a way that glorifies God, impacts the world, and satisfies your own soul. I believe that, and I want you to believe that too. Point number one, what is the difference between natural talents and spiritual gifts? Because guess what? I guarantee here this morning that there's a lot of people that have fantastic natural talents, and some people confuse them. They say, well, this is a natural talent. I'm going to use this for the glory of God. And guess what? You can. A lot of people do that. And then a lot of people have natural talents that they believe are spiritual gifts, and they are not spiritual gifts. So natural talents are something you excel at or you are better at than the average person. These talents, such as athletics, singing, painting, writing, are also gifts from God, but they are also gifts of the natural and physical and social level, on a social level. They are given to benefit the natural man and mankind in general. Illustration here for you this morning, believe this or not. My great-grandfather, my grandfather, my father, and I were all artists. So much so that we painted murals in churches. We painted murals in manors, massive murals in manors. I have sold personally paintings all over Canada, the U.S., and the world. And my father did as well. We were all painters. And those who come to my house today will actually see my grandfather's, my father's, my paintings that we have in the house. But I want you to know something about that here this morning. That is a talent that God has just gifted us with as a family. It's a talent. You see, spiritual gifts benefit man and his spiritual nature. They are a benefit to the Spirit working through us and also benefit our relationship with God. Only Christians have spiritual gifts, and I want you to understand that here this morning, that only Christians have spiritual gifts because they are only given to those who have the Spirit of God within them. They accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. They are filled with the Spirit of God. In turn, God gives them a gift or gifts. And that is a wonderful thing to know that God has imparted to us gifts. Spiritual gifts are often used for the edification of the saints in the church and for the glory of our Father in heaven. But natural gifts are used most of the time to glorify self, the flesh. It's something you like to do. Point number two, what is the purpose of spiritual gifts? Well, the Bible teaches us that there are three purposes that spiritual gifts were given. And let's explore. There's a lot more than that, but I just want to touch on three here this morning. Let's explore these three here this morning so we can identify it and know it a little bit better here this morning. Number one, spiritual gifts equip us to share, okay? What do I mean by that? Well, I'll give you just a scripture here this morning. A short little scripture that will give you just a little example of this in Matthew 10:19-20. And it says this, and this gives us a glimpse of this. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are going to speak or what you are going to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. You see, I'll never forget, I was in Bible school, finished my first year of Bible school, and I got a call from Prince Edward Island. I was in New Brunswick. Got a call from Prince Edward Island that two teachers that minored in religious studies and taught that in school to high school students were coming to my house. So these two teachers were coming for a reason. They were coming to prove me wrong. And so they were friends, like I said, and they thought we were in a cult. We left. We went to Bible school. We were learning the Word of God. And again, I was only in my first year. I only knew Jesus for about a year and a half, not very long. And they came in, and these people were very intelligent. Don't think for a moment that they weren't smart, because they were. And they came into my kitchen, and Cindy and I had them for supper and that, and then when it was over, the bloodbath began. True story. They started hitting me with everything that they could hit me with. And I'll never forget it because I remember praying before they came. I didn't know that they were coming to challenge me, the Bible, and my faith, Cindy and I both. I didn't know that until they had left and people told us that later. But when they were hitting us, it was just unbelievable what the Spirit of God truly does in a time like that. Because there was not one question that I did not answer, biblically speaking. Not one. I didn't miss one. And then in turn, God gave me portions of Scripture to challenge them with. And by the time I was done with them, they couldn't speak another word to me. Because biblically, at that hour, at that moment, the Spirit gave me from the Father what to say to them. And I've had that throughout my ministry and throughout the years of serving where you're challenged and the Word of God just comes to you. You know it's through the power of the Holy Spirit coming to you so that you can witness effectively. You could share the gospel effectively to people. And that's the Spirit's work in and through you. The Spirit of God equips the believer to share the good news of the gospel through the work of the Holy Spirit. Number two, spiritual gifts help us to provide a message. So it helps us to share, but it also helps us to provide a message. Hebrews 2:3-4 that Stephen had read here this morning, I just want to take these two verses and concentrate on them. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord. Do you hear that? And it was attested to us by those who heard. Okay, the apostles, followers of Jesus, they heard, right? And it kept on going from there. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, distributing according to his will. You see, these gifts were given to authenticate the speaker of telling the gospel, the person telling the gospel of Jesus Christ, but these gifts were given so that they would understand the gospel, understand the word of God, understand these guys that were bringing it through the Lord, his witnesses, and the overall work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The message of the gospel is provided to us for this lost and dying world. You see, we are filled with the Spirit of God. We know Jesus. And we have a story to tell. We got to tell people about Jesus. And that message is given to you. Number three, spiritual gifts equip believers to sit down and do nothing? No. Number three is spiritual gifts equip believers to serve. You hear that? Serve. Not be a pew warmer. I had an evangelist friend that used to say this to me. Pew warmers stink. Do you hear that? Pew, stink. It's a joke. It's a play on words. Okay, yeah, amen. Hallelujah. All right. 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What? For the common good. Common good meaning what? Well, the Holy Spirit manifests himself in the believer, and in turn, the believer works towards the common good of the body of Christ and the ministry of the church. That's the common good. And the purpose of spiritual gifts are spoken about all through the New Testament. You see, we are given a gift or multiple gifts that is from the Spirit of Christ himself, and we should be using them gifts for the Lord's glory and for his honor. I personally know, truthfully, why many Christians are miserable. Number one is sin, but number two, they're not fulfilling the Great Commission call on their life. I've been counseling people for years, years and years, and when I see that person that is miserable in their faith, I look at them and I say to them, number one, do you have sin in your life? Do you have something going on? No, no, no. Number two, what are you doing for Jesus? Truly, what are you doing for him? If the Great Commission call is to go into all the world to preach the gospel, are you doing it? Are you doing what God has called us to do? Because I can guarantee you right now that you're going to take your eyes on that situation, that worry, that anguish, that thing that you're hyper-concentrating on, and you're going to go, oh my word, I need to be putting it here. Glory for the Lord. Concentrate on them things. And then what happens in your life is that you will have a joy. It will fill you. When you're exercising your spiritual gifts and you're preaching the gospel and sharing your faith and doing what God has commanded you to do, and that miserable part slowly goes away, starts to go away. 1 Corinthians 14:12 tells us, so with yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestation of the Spirit, listen to this, strive to excel in the building up of yourself, the church. The church. Strive. Do you know what that word truly means? Think of that for a moment. Strive. In another translation, it says this. It says in the Weymouth New Testament translation, 1 Corinthians 14:12b, it says, seek to excel in them so that you benefit the church. Strive. And seek to do what? To build up. To build up and to benefit the church. So if the Bible is commanding us to do that as believers, are we doing it? Is the question. Because God wants us to strive. He wants us to seek, to excel, to build up, to benefit the church. It doesn't have to be full time, but just as long as the Lord is receiving some use out of the gifts or the gift that He has given to you. He desires that of you. He didn't give it in vain. He gave it for a reason. A reason. Spiritual gifts are to be used to glorify, edify, and magnify our Heavenly Father. He is pleased when a believer uses these gifts for His ministry and for His purpose and for, listen to this, and for His will in your life. He's got a will for you to do for Him, to glorify Him. That is His will for you. Point number three, how can you discern and develop your own spiritual gifts? And this is probably one of the biggest conversations I have as a pastor when it's concerning spiritual gifts, truly. People will come in and, oh, I want to do something, but I don't know what to do. You know, I feel like God is kind of pulling me towards something, but I don't know what. You know, them questions. What, Pastor, what do you think my spiritual gifts are? What are they? The most important way to discern and develop your own spiritual gifts is to pray, number one, and ask God to show you what your gifts are and what you're gifted in. In this translation, the ESV, 1 Corinthians 12:1 says this, and I want you to hear this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. The Bible says uninformed. Uninformed. I don't want you to be uninformed. The King James Version says it this way. I do not want you to be ignorant. So now we have uninformed, and then we have ignorant. And then the HCSB says, I do not want you to be unaware. Unaware. I don't want you to be uninformed, ignorant, or unaware of your spiritual gifts. If God is saying that to us, then don't you think we need to do something about it? You see, this is pretty strong language concerning you knowing what your spiritual gifts are. Here are four takeaways on how to find our spiritual gifts, and I'm going to help you here today. Number one, by studying what the biblical spiritual gifts are, and if God through prayer is leading you to one or maybe multiple gifts here, that may be your gift or gifts. Number two, listen to God's people when they compliment you and ask you to be a part of a certain ministry or ministries. Listen to that. You see, it's clear that the Spirit that is within you, if you're born again here today, is in them. And if they're coming to you and they know the Lord and the Spirit's leading them to say to you, hey, I believe that God is calling you to administration. I believe that God's calling you to the pastorate. I believe that God is calling you. You're definitely an encourager. You got the gift of helps. I can tell. Listen to that. Listen to that. I'll never forget it. I ran from the pastorate. I didn't want to be a pastor. It was the last thing I wanted to be. Remember, I told you that I suffered last week with dyslexia. The only thing I wanted to do is pound nails for Jesus. I told everybody that. What do you want to be? And I said, I just want to pound nails for Jesus. I'm going to work at a camp. I'm going to jack up cabins and fix up kitchens and do whatever. But I'm not going to be a pastor. Next thing you know, they asked me to preach. I preached, and I'll never forget it. It changed my life the first time I preached first. I got up. I was in this small country church, wood stove in the middle of the hallway type thing. I mean, tiny. Never even had a bathroom. I said, where do you use the washroom? Well, you see them trees over there. Oh, yeah. No joke. Anyway, I'm sitting there, and I'm preaching. And I remember there was this guy sitting in the front row. And he started weeping. And I mean weeping. And he came up to me after and he said, "Man, I was so moved by your message." He said, "I need to get my life right with Jesus." He said, "I walked away and need to get it right." And I said, "Oh, Lord." After I was done, I was like, "Lord, really?" And then the phone started ringing. And I was asked to preach here, there, everywhere. And it was just one call after another. And people asked me to be their pastor. And I was turning things down. And I was running the other way for a number of years until I finally realized truly what my spiritual gift was. And it is this. Number three. And I've never been happier. Never been happier. Number three. Keep an eye on what area of ministry God is using you in. And if this continues to happen, then you may find out what your spiritual gift is. If people are drawing you to a ministry and keep asking you into a ministry, go into it and see. You will find out quickly. When I was in college, my speech comm teacher, he was there and he told me, he said, if you want to know what your spiritual gifts are, he said, try everything. Try everything. And I did. I tried just about everything. And I stunk at a lot of them, let me tell you, because they weren't my spiritual gifts. Number four, ask your pastor, elders, deacons, godly family members, or perhaps seasoned Christians or friends in your life, what your spiritual gifts may be. And they may tell you. They may see it, know it, understand it, and tell you what they are. Here is some pastoral advice for you. Try out different or new ministries and put yourself into different areas in the church, mission field, or ministries that require the use of your spiritual gift or gifts. Then you will see that if you excel in that area, people are recognizing that you're fantastic in that area, then chances are that could be your spiritual gift. Here's an internet quote. When we serve according to our gifts, we rely less on our own strength and more on the Holy Spirit. Amen. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve," who? "One another, as good stewards of God's very grace." You see, your spiritual gift is given to you so that you serve one another. That you are in the church and you are building up the church. This body does not work without people utilizing their spiritual gifts. Truthfully, it doesn't. We need the cooks, we need the cleaners, we need the administrators, we need the preachers, we need the teachers, we need the people with helps and encouragement and serving, and the list goes on and on. We need them all. We need them all. This church wouldn't run without them. And that's the beauty of it. To finish today, the spiritual gifts that are given to us as believers are a blessing and can be used to glorify our Father in heaven. We should thank Him and praise Him for these gifts that are given by His Spirit. We should also use these spiritual gifts to exalt the name of Jesus. Amen? And build His church and encourage the saints of God and those who don't know Jesus yet. You see, that gift of evangelism, what a beautiful gift. I'm not exalting that gift above the others, but I will tell you something. When someone's gifted with the gift of evangelism and they're going into them highways and byways and they're preaching the gospel to people that don't want to hear it and yet continue to do it nonstop, and then people slowly come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. They accept Him and they get saved and they turn their life from sin and wickedness and the devil. And God uses them for His glory and His honor and His praise. Elders, come forward. If you would like a prayer of encouragement or direction this morning, if you have a burden on your heart and would like some prayer for that, if you are sick, suffering, maybe broken today, and would like prayer, If you don't know Jesus today and are not quite sure how to come to Him, then please come forward and pray with our elders. That's why they're here. I want to finish this morning, close the service here this morning. There's no closing song. It's a benediction verse, and then I'm going to pray. It's found in Romans 15, 13, and it says this: May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for blessing us, Lord, with spiritual gifts. Lord, I pray for this congregation, Lord, that your Spirit would move on them, Lord. Lord, that they would understand what their gifts are and to use them for your glory, your honor, and your praise, Lord, that you would be magnified, glorified, lifted up. Lord, we know and understand that these gifts are for your glory and for the glory of your church in this world. Lord, help us to use them for that. And Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus, I want them to know this day that He came and He died for their sins so that they can go to heaven. He shed His blood on Calvary for their sin. He was that Lamb of God that truly does take away the sins of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through Him, except through Jesus. And Lord, I pray that they would call out to you today and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I have broken your law, Lord. I have done many things wrong. But Lord Jesus, I'm calling out to you today to save me from my sins. And Lord, help me to live for you and glorify you in my life. And Lord Jesus, I truly love you and I give you my life in Christ's name. Amen. Have a blessed day, everybody, and God bless you.